We shall again read God's word in the Gospel according to John chapter 10. The Gospel according to John chapter 10, reading there from the beginning of the chapter. The context of this chapter, the previous one, which we considered a couple of nights ago, you have the curing of the man born blind, his shabby treatment by the rulers of the Jews, and of how they threw the man out of the temple. Chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, for they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, his own the sheep or not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So on may God bless to us that reading of his own holy word. We again unite in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we praise thee, that the Lord Jesus is a great shepherd of the sheep, is at work still today, gathering those other sheep into his fold. We bless thee that the work of the gospel goes on, not only in this place, but throughout our land and throughout the world. And we pray, O Lord, that that day would come soon, when the nations would acknowledge Christ, and when there might be a great ingathering of many souls into thy kingdom. Bless the gospel as it goes forth, not only here and the witness of thy people here, but bless it to the ends of the earth. Bless it amongst those missionaries connected with us. Bless it elsewhere. Bless it amongst Jew and Gentiles. Lord, that we might yet see the downfall of the kingdom of Satan and darkness, and the extension and growth of the kingdom of grace. Be with thy people throughout the world. Remember especially those who labour in difficult areas, who seek to bear witness where there is much opposition and persecution. Lord, that persecuting powers would yet become those who would bow the knee before King Jesus, and that thou would sustain thy people and enable them to bear witness in dark and difficult days. Remember all in need, we pray. We commit them to thee and ask that thou wouldst remember them. Draw near to those who are struggling with spiritual battles that others may know nothing of. And grant that thou wouldst enable them to cast their cares upon thee. Remember those who are burdened with ill health. And restore to a measure of health and strength and give grace to cope, we pray. And be with those who mourn and comfort such as thou alone art able. O Lord, thou art teaching us continually of how uncertain life is. There are those who were here one day and gone the next day. Those who seem healthy and yet are struck down. There are, we find even that there are those who expected to be with us here today and in thy providence are unable to gather with us. This is not our planning, but it is in thine own sovereign purpose. Lord, that thou wouldst draw near to all in need, and that thou wouldst grant them thy blessing, thy comfort, thine upholding, and that thou wouldst speak to those who know thee not, and that they would yet be drawn to thee, that they would realize what is important, and above all to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Bless our families, work in their hearts. We thank thee for those who know thee. We pray for those who are yet strangers to thee, that thou wouldst draw near to them and draw them as thou alone art able. We pray that this morning, as we are under thy word, that thou wouldst bless it to us and that thou wouldst refresh our souls in the good things of the gospel. May the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. How our souls need healing from the dominion of sin. How the power of sin has been broken in the hearts of thy people. It is still there and often seems strong. But we pray, Lord, that we might receive of thy grace and that we might be enabled to more and more die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Lord, draw near to us then. Help us to put aside all that would distract our thoughts. And as we meditate upon thy word, that thou wouldst make thy word a living word to our souls. Speak to each one of us here, we pray, and grant us thy blessing and forgive our sin. All for Jesus' sake we ask. Amen. Now would you turn with me, please, to the passage we read in the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John at chapter 10, and as the Lord would enable us this morning, we might consider together verses 17 and 18. Verses 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. John 10, verses 17 and 18. Now, amongst the Jews, and indeed amongst others in the Middle East, it was common for those who were kings and leaders to be referred to as the shepherds of the people. And it was therefore common for the Messiah himself to be viewed as the shepherd of Israel. And we find here the Lord Jesus speaking of himself as not only a shepherd, but as the good shepherd. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he calls himself the good shepherd in contrast to the Jewish leaders of his days. When Mr. MacLeod was preaching from previous chapter on Friday, there was brought before us the fact that the man born blind, that the Lord Jesus cured, opening his eyes, that he received the most shabby treatment by the leaders of the Jews. They just refuse to accept, first of all, that he has been healed, and then, well, if he has been cured, they certainly will not receive any lectures from him as to who the Lord Jesus might be. And you can see their blind hatred of Christ. And that is only increased because this happened on the Sabbath day, and it was such an outrage to do such a thing as to do good like this on the Sabbath day. And it ends up that they turn round and say to the man, "Thou wast altogether born in sins. Dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. And the Lord Jesus finds him and asks him if he believes in the Son of God. And of course the man wonders who this is. And the Lord reveals himself as one who is the Son of God. And we find him saying, "I believe." And he worships him. What a difference there was between the Jewish authorities of the day and the Lord Jesus. He shows himself to be a caring teacher and one who will help this poor man. But he's not just a caring teacher. He is the good shepherd, because he has come to do much more than just teach and show an interest, especially in the needy. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And we find in the words of our text him explaining a bit more of what this means, and of how he is the one who, though the Jews be hating, though they are going to ultimately reject, yet he is loved of his Father. "Therefore doth my Father love me." Why does he love him? Not just because he's a caring good teacher, though that's true. "It is because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And we find him explaining there first something of the work of the cross, something of the way of salvation, and all this that we might be drawn either to entrust our souls to him for the first time, or to renew our confidence in him. We'll notice three things. We'll notice the Father's command, Christ's obedience, and the Father's response. First of all, we have the Father's command. "This commandment have I received of my Father." What was the commandment that the Lord Jesus received? Well, we might say that it was a call to save. He was summoned to be the Saviour. And we find that repeatedly Christ makes that clear, that he is the Saviour. Verse 9, "I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." You think of his very name, Jesus. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Why? "For he shall save his people from their sin." His very name, Jesus, or Yeshua, is saying, God saves, and I am God's Saviour, and he is God who does save. Here is the one who has come in order to save. And it is under the image of the shepherd that is particularly brought out.